You are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This is Priority Sunday, and Pastor Chip delivers a short teaching about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ.
Well, good morning, everybody. So great to see you. So great to be home. And Priority is going to have one more song to share with you in just a minute. But I just want to let you know, we have had an incredible, incredible week. It's been 30 years or so since I've been on Priority Tour, and it's about even more awesome than I remember it. So it's been a great week, and as Pastor Christel said, you should be so incredibly proud of these students. They have been wonderful, and it's just been so great to hang with them and minister with them all week. And I know that they would say that it wouldn't be possible for them to do what they have done this week if it weren't for so many of you who have given, you've invested, you've prayed, and you've sacrificed to make it possible for these kids to go and minister on the road. So from you parents of these students to all those who have served and donated and invested through the auction and so many other ways, all of our student leaders, our sound team that we went on the road with that did an amazing job, and both, as we already recognized our witness choir this morning, I heard great things while we were on the road in California. We were watching them as they ministered in Washington and Idaho, and Joy Burchett and her incredible job that she does, and her leadership team with our witness choir, and then Pastor Christel. She is the best. We are blessed to have her. She is the best. So thank you all who have given. And I would be remiss if I did not thank Pastor Ron and Cheryl Cochran for the vision of the youth choirs and all of the graded choir program that we have here at Portland Christian Center. The vision they have, what they planted 30 plus years ago, is rare. It's unique, it's awesome, it's powerful, and it's life-shaping and changing, not only to those that we've been able to minister to, but to these students. And so what a blessing to have this wonderful ministry of youth choirs that Pastor Ron and Cheryl planted so many years ago. Priority, I want you to thank everybody who gave and sacrificed and made it possible. Would you thank everybody one more time? Well, let me ask you a question. What do you need? What do you need? No, what do you really, really, really need? See, every day through radio and through television and through the internet, just driving down Beaverton Hillsdale Highway, we see logos, we see subliminal messaging and advertising, and we're being told every single day what we really, really need, right? In fact, I found this out, that every day, get this, every day, we are exposed to between 4,000 and 10,000 advertising messages. Every day, 4,000 to 10,000 messages telling us that we should not and that we cannot live without their product or services. And in fact, advertisers are not above using tactics such as comparing ourselves with what others have had. You've seen commercials, you've seen comparing what we have to others and trying to get us to buy their product in that way. And we call that coveting. We know that that's called coveting, wanting what others have. They'll tell us that our very lives are in danger, and that's a tactic of fear. And they'll tell us that if we really want to be noticed, if we really want to be valued, if we really want to be loved, that's called insecurity, then we must buy their product or service. This year, get this, this year in the U.S. alone, $129 billion will be spent on advertising. Isn't that crazy? Why will that amount of money be spent on advertising? Because it works. Advertisers have become very successful at telling us how to spend our money, telling us what we really, truly need. But again, the question is it? What do you need? What do we need? What does our nation and what does our world need? Well, the answer to that question might depend on all kinds of circumstances, like how old we are, where we live in the world, our financial position, our family status, or maybe even our health situation. But there is one thing. There is something that we all need, I believe, that transcends all 8 billion people that inhabit planet Earth. It's not the car we drive, or the house we live in. It's not the shoes we wear, or the cell phone that we carry, or even that dream vacation that we've always hoped for. The number one need that every person has since Adam and Eve ever walked this earth. Here it is. Are you ready for it? It's hope. Anybody in here doesn't need hope? We all need hope. One of the greatest causes of anxiety and depression and fear and suicide is lack of hope. One of the greatest lies of the enemy is that hope can be found in something that we buy. But we know the real hope is the hope that won't wear out, it won't disappoint, it will never lie to us, it will never deceive us. Real hope has a name. And as we heard earlier, his name is Jesus Christ. The greatest gift that we could ever receive is real hope. And God gave us that hope through his son, Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says this. It says, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We're born again into a living hope. Why? Because of what Jesus has done. He's risen from the dead. He is resurrected, and we have life through him. And it goes on to say, to an inheritance that is imperishable, which means it will never die. It's undefiled, which means it's pure. It's unfading, and it's kept, it's secured in heaven for you and for me. Because of who Jesus is, because of what he's done, and most importantly, because he is alive, we can have hope in him and through him. I know many of your favorite scriptures is the one I'll read now, Jeremiah 29:11. It speaks about God's plan and the hope that we can have in his plan for our life. And it says this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, and to give you a future and a hope. His plans for our life are for a hope and a great future. And then Jeremiah says this in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 23. It says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. And I love the way he says this, but this I call to mind. As I think about this, I have hope. Is there anything in your life that when you think about it, when you just begin to think about it, the hope just wells up within inside. You can just feel your heart rise and you have this great hope, this great expectation. Well, that's what Jeremiah is saying here. But what is it that causes him to have such great hope? But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. And he says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The love of the Lord gives him hope. And his mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The love of the Lord, his mercies that never end, and his faithfulness give us hope today. As followers of Jesus, friends, every day we can wake up and we can put our feet firmly on the floor and know that God has a great plan for our lives, and it's for a great future and for a great hope. And there is new hope for us each and every day. And the best news is this, friends, that hope is not just for this life, right? It's for a life that's yet to come. It's for eternity. It's for heaven. It's what the Bible refers to as our blessed hope, our blessed hope. Titus 2, verse 13, it says, waiting. What are you waiting for? Ultimately, we are waiting for our blessed hope. And what is that? The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. If there's anything greater that we're waiting for, then we've missed it, right? When Jesus comes and he takes us back to be with him, what a day that will be. That is our blessed hope. Hope in Jesus Christ is the greatest hope that we can ever, ever know. But not only that, hope in Jesus Christ is the greatest hope that we could ever give. It's the greatest hope that we could ever share. There's nothing more rewarding, there's nothing more fulfilling in life than to know that we have been used by God to change someone's darkness to light, right? To change someone's emptiness to fullness in Jesus, to change someone's anxious desperation to a lifelong passionate and joy-filled pursuit of the living God, to help change hopelessness into hope. And let me tell you guys, this week, our amazing students brought it. They absolutely brought it. They brought hope to some of the darkest communities in our country. These are some of the things that they did. Your students brought hope by putting on a VBS program to children in an inner city Salvation Army center. Your students brought hope by rolling up their sleeves and doing some much needed cleaning at a homeless shelter in a desperate area of Oakland, California. Your students brought hope by cleaning block after block after block of impoverished neighborhoods. Your students brought hope by doing 3 weeks worth of volunteer work at a Bay Area food bank in 2 hours. 3 weeks of work, they did it in 2 hours and they had the time of their lives. Your students brought hope by sharing songs and testimonies that point to the real source of hope, and that's Jesus Christ. In fact, I asked some of our students to tell me how they brought hope this past week, and here's what some of them said. Grace Warfield said, I brought hope when we went to the homeless population under a bridge and gave them lunches that we made ourselves. Another student said, hope doesn't have to be shown through big gestures. Handing out peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in downtown Oakland was one small act of kindness that could possibly change someone's life forever. A cup of cold water in Jesus' name, right? Grace Sittinger said, I brought hope by showing the homeless that there are people who still love and care about them. Another student said, I brought hope when I really connected with a little boy named Aiden. You saw him in the slideshow. At an Oakland Salvation Army outreach. I know nothing in concrete, but if I were to guess, he was not in a good situation at home, both economically and physically. And this outreach gave me the opportunity to speak into his life and show him someone that he could look up to, love, and would love him back. Another student wrote, the one project that stuck with me the most was probably the concert we held at City Team Oakland. Seeing the faces in the crowd and the worship coming from the people who needed hope the most was incredible. And Samantha said this. She said, when we had our first concert in a small church, I went to pray for an elderly man, and he told me that he really enjoyed our singing, and he said it gave him hope for what he was going through. He told me he had just gone through surgery and was recovering from it, and at that time, he was going through a tough time, but at that concert, he learned how important having hope was. And Samantha prayed with him and told him, he told her that he was very grateful for the opportunity to be there that evening. And Garrett said this. Garrett said, after our first concert, the pastor called up all of us off the stage to pray for someone in the pews. I talked to a gentleman by the name of John. I asked him, how can I pray for you, sir? And he responded in a shaky, broken voice that he had not ever been asked such a question before. No one has ever asked, can I pray for you? He's never had that question asked of him. After I finished praying, he told me that he was actually homeless, and he walked into our concert off the street because he heard us singing. He said it was his first time in a church, and that because of the message of hope from our songs and the prayer, that he would start coming to church, and he thought our God guy we sang about sounded pretty cool, and he wanted to know more. Our God guy, right? Yeah. These are just some of the stories how our students brought hope this week. But I just want to encourage us. May our testimony as believers in Jesus be like that of the Apostle Paul when he spoke of bringing hope when he wrote this in Romans 15, verse 13. He said, may the God of hope, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. May the testimony of our lives, what Jesus has done for us, what he has redeemed us from, how he's healed us, how he's restored us, how he's set us free from the curse of sin and death. We are living testimonies to point others to the saving grace of Jesus Christ and the hope that can only be found in him. I'll conclude with this psalm. The psalmist said this in chapter 39, verse 7. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? What are you waiting for? What are you hoping for? What are you longing for? What are you expecting? What are you desiring? The psalmist says, and now, O Lord, for what do I wait? And he answers the question by saying this, my hope is in you. Hope has a name. His name is Jesus.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.